Can't get it towards the middle. Up top, Marchessault slides it right wing. Nobody home. It's out to center. 3-2-1. This game is over. Caps beat the Knights 3-1 and take a 2-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final.
That was one of the ways to hear the game last night. Dan Duva right here on Fox Sports Radio, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, couldn't get it done. 3-1 final. And for the first time in the playoffs, the Golden Knights find themselves a game back after three games played. And first time also they've lost back-to-back games in the postseason. Hey, we'll talk all about it. This is Out of Line. It is Sunday mornings. Welcome. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Again, the flagship radio station of the Vegas Golden Knights here in Las Vegas. And I'm Brian Feldman. To my right on your radio dial, Jose Valonte. Bobby Machado is behind the big board today, taking care of the wheels of steel, as Chris Magnum Chapman is out in Washington. We're going to be talking to him real shortly. He's at the game last night. He'll be at game four on Monday night as well. We are here every Monday from 8 to 9 a.m. And again, without you, there is no show. So do me a favor. Give us a call. Chime in. We're happy to have you. It's 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai. Between Tropicana and Peaceway, a great place to watch every single game. Coming up in a little while, we are going to be on all Vegas Golden Knights today. As I said, we're going to talk to Magnum here in a second. Also coming up on the show after the first break, you'll hear from Ted Sobel. He is the studio host and reporter for Sports USA. He's also an author of a book coming out this summer. We'll talk all about that. Ted's great to talk to. See him at all the games down there. Also, we've got interviews with Golden Knights, Ryan Reeves, the tough guy of the Golden Knights. After game one, I talked to him. Of course, that big hit on Jonathan Marchessault by Tom Wilson. He talks about that, as well as we also have Asia Wilson. Speaking of a Wilson, we've got Asia Wilson, and she is a star for the Las Vegas Aces, our brand new WNBA team that won their first game at Mandalay Bay on Friday night. So Jose talked to her. We're going to have that interview coming up a little bit later as well. And all the features blazing, the Las Vegas 51's reporting. Definitely don't miss today's Fact This. It's pretty good. The best and worst part of the show, again, you can check us out right now on Facebook Live as well. My page, Brian Feldman. Jose's page, that's Jose Valonte. And Chris Chapman's got it running up on his page as well. And we get it up on the Out of Line page right after the show, so you can check it out there as well. It'll stay there. Also, of course, on the podcast page on lvsportsnetwork.com. So you can check it out there. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai, between Tropicana and Peaceway. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
Hockey players, as you know, are they don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Right circle, Kuznetsov toward the slot. Feeds across. Steve Fleury, rebound behind him. He sprawls around and makes the save. Shot off the outside of the pipe. Another shot. Another save, Fleury. A third time they score. Capitals take the lead. It's Alexander Ovechkin.
After being shut out completely in Game 1, Ovechkin scored goals in both Game 2 and Game 3. Now 14 to lead the National Hockey League in the postseason in goals. And Mags is on the phone. Chris Magnum Chapman out in D.C. He was there last night, Capital One Center. And Chris, surprised at all at the outcome?
No, not really. I mean, if you watch the game, you shouldn't be too surprised that Washington was able to win that game. I mean, look, they were the better team. They forced Vegas out of their game. And, you know, I'm not surprised watching the game that Washington won. I mean, Vegas did have some opportunities despite the fact that they were completely outplayed for most of the game. You know, it's just Vegas has to figure out how to beat this Washington defense. because what they're doing is they're doing a really good job of preventing Vegas from their offense.
Well, Vegas, one of the things that Vegas has to get going is that first line. When your fourth line is outscoring your first line, that's something we haven't seen all year here in Vegas, and we've seen it so far in the first three games. But it's not just that. Washington looks like the better hockey team. You especially see it, I won't say in odd man situations, you see it like 4-on-4 when there's a little bit more ice. You can definitely see the difference in ability. But a couple things really stood out, Mags, last night, and you saw them there as well. In the second period, I mean, I don't know, I guess it was behind the play, but how the officials miss a clear cross-check by Kuznetsov on Braden McNabb. I mean, it was hard in the side of his head, and it was completely missed. And then again in the third period, to take 2 minutes away from the Vegas Golden Knights when they were only down a goal at that time, man, that was just terrible on the tripping penalty by Derek Engelin, a phantom call. It wasn't even him that tripped him. I mean, I can see how maybe as an official the human eyes miss that, but that's way too big of a call to blow. Both those calls, Chris, could have been game changers.
Well, I have more of an issue with the McNabb cross check because it was clear retaliation by Kuznetsov, you know, and he did come up high and cross check him, actually knocked McNabb to the ice, dropped his stick, and then he skated off pretty slowly. You know, I have an issue with that. Look, the tripping call, the refs are going to make mistakes. There were some people who thought that maybe Shafir tripped someone earlier in the play, and it was kind of a makeup call. But you know, I don't know. I have a hard time looking at the officials and saying, oh, well, it's their fault that this, you know, that they missed these calls. Look, those guys have made a ton of mistakes in this series. They made a ton of mistakes in the playoffs. And at some point, you just have to stop being surprised with how bad they are because they're either intentionally allowing a lot to go or they're just completely inept, and I'm not sure which one it is.
Well, I'm going to talk about that later in the show during Fact This. I have a couple of theories. Because the questions that we've gotten asked, I've gotten asked all season long, is why are the Golden Knights the Golden Knights? Not why are they the team? Why are they doing what they're doing? And I've got some theories that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. But Chris, again, watching this, you have definitely seen the first line, especially, of this Washington Capitals team. They are almost... they're almost unbeatable when they are playing their best hockey. They are so good and so talented. They move the puck so well. And you got to constantly be watching out for snipers.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got going again last night. I mean, the Ovechkin goal, I mean, look, Fleury did everything he could. They just couldn't, Vegas just couldn't clear the puck. And Ovechkin diving at the puck was in back of the net. But, you know, I think the first line for Vegas isn't playing bad. They're just not scoring. And maybe people would say, oh, well, they need to score, otherwise they are playing bad. But they're not giving up a lot of goals on that first line. It's the second and third line where Vegas is really struggling to get things going. You know, obviously you have three goals from Tomáš Nosek in this series, a goal from Ryan Reeves. So clearly the fourth line is far exceeding Washington's fourth line. But, you know, Vegas is... We saw last night, mistakes lead to goals, and we saw Shea Theodore make a mistake. He had a broken stick, and he runs at a puck, and Kuznetsov would get by him and come down the ice and get it past Fleury. So, you know, the Golden Knights are turning the puck over an exorbitant amount of times up at the blue line. They're being completely dominated in their own offensive zone, and they're still taking a lot of bad penalties. I think the Riley penalty was bad, and the Arizona penalty was also pretty bad. So, you know, you're not going to win games when you're turning the puck over. You're committing a lot of penalties, and you're not generating a whole lot from your second and third line.
Well, Chris, some numbers are staggering where you're saying the first line, you know, it's not really their fault they're generating. It's not just the first line, but two members of that first line, both Riley Smith, who you just mentioned, who did take a bad penalty, and William Karlsson, were completely not just shut out in the scoring column as far as an assist or a goal. Neither one of those guys got a shot on goal the entire game. That is completely unacceptable. You also had Neil, who I was kind of surprised when I saw the scorebook at the end, no shots on goal. David Perron, no shots on goal. Nate Schmidt, no shots on goal. Theodore, as you mentioned, you know, that giveaway in his own zone was just horrible. And Shea Theodore also had another play where I can't remember who got the puck around him. It might have been Kuznetsov again, but he was like looking over his left shoulder, like waiting for Fleury to play a puck, and it resulted in a Marc-Andre Fleury tripping penalty because he didn't do his job then. And also another guy that has really baffled me in the last three games, it's Alex Tuck. He is not playing the same hockey he played in the first three rounds, Chris. I mean, that little breakaway he had wasn't quite a breakaway, but I mean, he completely missed the net. And that is not Alex Tuck-like what we've seen in the first three rounds of the playoffs.
Well, it's like I said, Washington is forcing Vegas out of their game. And when Vegas isn't playing their game, Washington is clearly the better team. On the play where you were talking about with Theodore, where Fleury picked up the tripping penalty, it was Niskanen who was able to get around Theodore, again, turn the puck over. And, you know, I think there was some miscommunication between him and Fleury. And neither was sure who was going to come out and play that puck or if Fleury was going to come out and play it. And it resulted in Fleury getting a tripping penalty. You know, the thing is, talking to these guys last night, they're not panicking. You know, you would think, look, we've played three games, we haven't found our game yet. But they're only down 2-1 in the series. And, you know, you always make the comment, well, if, and you know, a lot of people will point to the fact that, well, it didn't happen. But reality is, Vegas hit a post in the second period, or first period. I think it was Marchessault who hit a post.
Yep.
Clearly had Holtby beaten. I mean, Holtby never would have saved it. And then Ryan Reeves missed a one-timer in an open net. So if those two go in, it's a completely different game, despite the fact that Vegas was outplayed in the game. So there's no panic. I think these guys know, look, we come out Monday night and we win this game. It doesn't matter what happened last night or what happened on Wednesday night. We're tied at 2 going back to Vegas. And that's all Vegas could have asked for after Wednesday night's game. If they get the split, they're going to be thrilled. And I think, honestly, I think if whoever wins game 4 is going to win the series.
Well, I think that's the school of thought. I think if Vegas doesn't win game 4, I mean, the order is so incredibly tall, having to win three games against this Washington Capitol team that is absolutely flying right now. I think that would be almost an impossible task, but then again, it's still Vegas. I wouldn't give up on him. You'd go to the one game at a time mentality. One of the things, Chris, that has been disturbing throughout the playoffs, and it definitely shined last night, especially late in the game, is winning draws. It's something that the Capitals do pretty well, especially guys like Jay Beagle, who is a specialist at taking faceoffs. But our main guy, like Carlson, I mean, you know, he is well under 50% and winning draws, and he takes more than anyone else's. And it's funny, Marchessault's worse than him, and yet he takes the opening draw in every game. The guys on the Vegas Golden Knights that seem to do decent at draws, Cody Eakin seems to be one of their specialists as far as taking draws go. Carpenter doesn't take many, but he wins more draws than he loses. But I don't know, Mags, that's something that I don't know how you work on it to get better. I think some guys just have a knack for winning faceoffs, but it is so crucial, especially in your own zone late in games.
Well, and the other, they're losing draws on the power play and the penalty kill, and that's really what I think is going to come back to bite you. You know, those draws at center ice, or those draws, you know, in the neutral zone, I don't think they come back to burn you as much as losing draws when you're on the PK or on the power play, and that's an area where Vegas has not been good at all. You know, you talked about Cody Eakin. He's played a really good series, despite the fact that I don't think he's registered a point. But there was a shift he had last night on the England penalty kill where he almost single-handedly was able to get Vegas back in the game with the shift that he put out there, you know, banging behind the boards, getting the puck behind the net, you know, and they're going to need a guy like that to break through because, like I said, the second and third line are not performing high level. It could take a guy like Ryan and really...
Hey, we're losing you, Chris. I don't know whether it's a bad signal or something along those lines. But Listen, we'll have you back in studio next week. Again, I don't want to sit there where we can't hear you on the air. Appreciate you giving us or talking to us from Washington. But, you know, he's 100% right about the winning the draws during a power play or shorthanded. Those are the times you've got to win a draw. And what I was going to say to Chris is, especially against a team like Washington, they are one of the best bang-bang teams in hockey. And what I mean by that is they win the draw, they throw it back to a guy at the point, and he is open to slap it home, and they're as good as anybody on that. They've got some real good triggers in guys like Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. I mean, these guys are tremendous. Even Tommy Wilson can get it done. I'll tell you right now, the bottom line is the Vegas Golden Knights got to shore up that area. They can't worry about the officials, like Magnum said. I don't want to make excuses for these guys, why they're playing the way they're playing, and say it's the officials causing the problem. But there are some bad calls. But overall, the Vegas Golden Knights have been outplayed. The last two games, it has been glaring. And I've thought that all along. Got to go to break in a second. Jose, you've got a chance to watch the games on television. I know you haven't been to one since the San Jose series, but you've definitely seen this team play. It's a little bit surprising to you to see this team against the Washington Capitals, or were you aware, as I was, that this Washington Capitals team is absolutely no slouch, and they've got the second-best player in the world wearing number 8 on his sweater?
I'm not going to lie to you. It is a bit surprising. I didn't think that I would see them with their back against the wall the way it is right now. But the one thing I did want to ask you about the way they've been playing, out of all the teams that they've played in the playoffs so far, would you say that the Washington Capitals have gotten underneath the Golden Knights' skin a little more? Because it seems to me that this has been probably one of the most physical series that they've had so far in the playoffs.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. It has been more physical. The Capitals are known for being more of a physical team than what they've kind of gone up against to this point. But, you know, I think that it's just that by the fourth round, you're on your highest level. You've got everyone's got it in fifth gear right now, pedal to the metal, and you can see the finish line. And the Washington Capitals, in my opinion, they've been here, man. This team is as playoff grizzled as any team in the National Hockey League, and they are prepared for this. The Vegas Golden Knights aren't fully, and mind you, again, one of the biggest nemesis of the Capitals has been who? The Pittsburgh Penguins. Well, who's been between the pipes for most of the time that's been knocking them out in the second round?
Flower, yeah.
It's been Marc-Andre Fleury. So this guy, I mean, you know, it's funny because a lot of stadiums aren't going to boo your players at the very beginning and stuff, and the Capitals, you know, they were booing right off the get-go. I think there's been a lot of bad blood as far as ticket sales go in this thing.
Oh,
we've heard about that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the Capitals were booing Marc-Andre Fleury not because it's like the Vegas Golden Knights and just booing. They really got loud. They hate the guy. I mean, he has crushed them in the postseason. And this year they finally get past the Capitals and past the Penguins, and it's not Marc-Andre Fleury that they got past. So this is still to them a huge hurdle to overcome, not just this Golden Knights and the mystique and what some people call destiny, but to overcome the puzzle that has been Marc-Andre Fleury that they've been unable to put together or figure out. And we'll see. I think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to come out with one of his best games ever on Monday night, but will it be enough to slow down this Washington Capitals team? I have no idea. We're going to find out on the other side of the break. We're going to hear from Ted Sobel again with Sports USA. The guy is a studio host, reporter. Again, a book coming up. We'll talk about that. We talked to Ted, and very, very knowledgeable in hockey. Something you might not know, Ted Sobel was in line for the Vegas Golden Knights play-by-play job right here on Fox Sports Radio. He didn't get it. Of course, they went to Dan Duva, but Ted's done it all, man. He's talked to about everyone. Looking real forward to having him on the air. This is Out of Line. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Theodore sticks break. Oshie got it ahead. Here come the Capitals. Maybe a 3-on-1. Up the right side, Kuznetsov. Right circle. He shoots. He scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov, his 12th goal of the playoffs. It's 2-0 Washington.
A guy who wasn't supposed to be in the lineup I don't think the Golden Knights expected Kuznetsov in the lineup, but he was. He got that second goal. And that one turned out to be the difference in the hockey game last night, 3-1. Again, the Washington Capitals take a 3-2 lead in the best of seven Stanley Cup finals here. Joining us now, a guy that I just got to meet recently, man, over at, first I met him at Media Day, and I've seen him at both the home games of the Golden Knights since that time. A guy you may be familiar with, man. This guy's done a great deal. Appreciate him joining the show. Ted Sobel is, again, he, matter of fact, he's got a book coming out, but you can check him out. He's with Sports USA. He's been there since 2005, studio host, reporter, and again, an author of a book coming out. Appreciate you joining the show, my friend.
I appreciate you inviting me, Brian. Good to talk to you again in Wild Game last night, huh?
Oh, it is. Listen, you can check Ted out. www.sportsusamedia.com is the website. And on Twitter, you can follow Ted at Ted Sobel Sports. Yeah, crazy game last night. Is it what you expected? You surprised by the game at all, Ted?
Absolutely not. This is really what I predicted from the start. I was surprised the way Washington played in Game 1. Look, when they play physical and they play smart, they're the better team, and they're deeper. And power play is a huge thing. You know, we talked from media day since that the Golden Knights have to stay out of the penalty box, and they've done a good job of that for the most part. But even the few opportunities, the Ovechkin group that does what they do, and that's such a key. You know, special teams, but more hits. Block shots. The Caps did everything right last night, and if they play like that, I don't know how they're going to lose.
Yeah, they are. You know, everyone talks about it, and again, I'm going to get into this shortly here about the only three explanations there are for what's going on right now in the National Hockey League with the Vegas Golden Knights. But one of the explanations is look, they're where they're supposed to be, and the Washington Capitals are where they're supposed to be. And on paper, there is no question who the better team is, but paper doesn't always make a difference. But another famous saying, Ted, one of the most famous sayings always is the cream eventually rises to the top. And I think at this point in time, the Washington Capitals' pure talent has risen to the top. And as you said, it poses all kinds of problems for the Vegas Golden Knights in several areas.
Yeah, well, I think Washington's looking pretty creamy right now, don't they? Look, the bottom line is to me that don't count Vegas out because they are a classy group. They have a lot of heart and character, and that tends to win out sometimes when it comes to the long haul because that's why they've done what they've done. They picked a great group of guys, but you got to win the battles, and they're not winning them now. And you could just see the momentum going on the Washington side, and they've earned that momentum. I don't think that Vegas played awful last night. I think the Caps took the game from them, and I think people need to stay away from the negativity of what Vegas did because somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, and I think you credit the Caps big time here. They did everything right.
Well, they did, Ted, and one of the things where I'm going to give the Caps credit and the little intangibles that you need to be looking for, and, you know, we're always looking for that doing what we do, but every time and every chance they get to lay a little thump on Carlson, on Marchessault, yep. On Smith, they are. I saw Alex Xander Ovechkin go out of his way heading to the bench to give Carlson a bump and keep this guy aware that we're going to hit you, we're going to hit you, and we're going to keep hitting you. And is it affecting him mentally? Well, look at the shots on goal. Riley Smith and William Carlson were completely shut out. And I said it a little earlier, not just shut out of the scoring column, they didn't get a shot on goal, either one of them. And on your first line, if you've got two of the three guys in your first line not getting a shot in three periods of hockey, that's a huge problem, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But again, credit the Capitals. They are taking Vegas out of their game. And when you come down to game three of the Stanley Cup final and your best line is your fourth line, something is desperately wrong. And it's not just about the first two lines to do anything. I thought Marchessault played okay. Had a couple of scoring opportunities, and credit Braden Holtby again there as well. And let's not get on Fleury's case either, because I thought he was fantastic. He did everything he could. You know, Dave scored some great goals. The Ovechkin goal was a beautiful backhand tip in at the side of the net, and Marc-Andre had no chance on that whatsoever. So again, you know, people, you want to pick everything apart, but the bottom line is the Caps are on paper better, which has meant nothing to Vegas all year long. Paper is Zippo, but they are doing what they're supposed to do.
No, they are. And one of the things that I'm watching, and you notice this, when they talk about playoff experience, another intangible, and obviously the Washington Capitals are riddled with playoff experience all over the board, defensively, offensively, in net, everywhere. But one of the things that I thought I saw, Ted, and tell me if I'm seeing this correctly, the young guns, guys like Alex Tuch, like Shea Theodore, is the moment a little bit too big for these guys right now?
I hate that term. I think sometimes that's overrated. Again, the other guys have experience. That's the most experienced playoff locker room that you want to find for an expansion team.
Okay.
So that's not really an excuse. You know, there's always going to be a couple of guys who don't have a whole lot of playoff experience, but I don't think that comes into play a lot. Look, I thought Alex Tuch played great the first game. So, I mean, why wouldn't you be more nervous game one in the final than any other time? Credit the other team taking them out of their game, and they are winning the battles. That's the bottom line. That's hockey, folks. And when you do it in the corners, and when you do it, you know, you're starting to find the Caps cycling in the corner a lot more the last two games than they were in the opener. And they're the ones who looked a little nervous to me, I thought. And credit Vegas what they did in game one, but it's changed. The momentum is back the other way. And, of course, I always say momentum is great within a game, but it means absolutely nothing when the next game starts. So let's see what happens.
He's Ted Sobel, studio host and reporter for Sports USA. Again, at Ted Sobel Sports is where you want to find him and follow him on Twitter. Ted, again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to make argument's sake, but the officiating – I think it's been lousy throughout, so at least it's consistently bad, but some terrible missed calls this past game. The retaliation, Kuznetsov on Braden McNabb, I mean, as blatant of a high cross check as I've seen to the side of his head, and then the tripping penalty on Derek England at a crucial point in the game. You know, it didn't end up costing the Vegas Golden Knights a goal, but it did cost them 2 minutes of comeback time, and calls like that just can't be missed, right?
I agree with you, but I'm not going to use it as an excuse because, let's face it, Vegas was outplayed the first two periods badly. And so you put themselves in that situation. No doubt about the cross-check against Kuznetsov, which should have been. That was a retaliation. That was a stupid play by him, and he got away with it. But I think the officials are trying to even things out. And, hey, there's been a few the other way as well where the Golden Knights could have been in the box and they got away with murder. So I'm not going there. I don't think it's affected the series whatsoever. I would like to see a little more consistent calls, obviously. And sometimes they tell you to put the whistle in your pocket during the final. And that's sort of been the case here, I think. And I'd rather have that than blowing the whistle every 5 seconds and just making it a power play fest, because I don't think that's fair either.
I'm not looking for excuses either, my friend. I'm just saying, you know, I just want calls consistent, and to me they've been consistently bad, so I'll take it. I'd rather have, you know, not one side or the other consistently bad. Two more things I want to talk to you about before I let you go. Quickly, George McPhee. I mean, you look at this Capitals team, and 13 of the guys on this playoff roster are directly, George McPhee is directly responsible, including the second best player in the National Hockey League, still at his age, Alexander Ovechkin, a first pick of his, and then every single player on the Golden Knights team right now is the responsibility of George McPhee. How much of a mastermind is this guy?
He is phenomenal. It's really funny because you mentioned him. When I walked into the arena, it's the first time I've been to a game in Vegas from game one, and I was in the parking lot, and he came walking in with his family. We had a brief chat. And I told him, this should be called the McPhee Cup, not the Stanley Cup, this game, this series. I just wanted to congratulate him on an unbelievable job for the first year. And what he did in Washington is already known. You know, just the fact that they didn't win a cup all those years he was there, you know, only one team wins. And they were always in the mix, and that's all you can ask, and then whatever happens, happens. He's not a player. He's not a coach. But I'll tell you, this guy goes way back. When he was at Bowling Green, I was announcing Wisconsin hockey. That's how long that was. He was a Hobie Baker winner. So I go way back remembering George as a player, and I'll tell you what, he's just been a phenom as a GM, and Vegas is really, really lucky to have him.
Super lucky to have him. Those couple of years he spent with Herbie Brooks with the New York Rangers didn't hurt either, because he kind of seems like he's got the same philosophy. It's not all about the best players. It's about the players that will play the best together. And George McPhee has been a mastermind. Listen, Ted Sobel's been a mastermind of many things. He has covered things like the World Series, Super Bowls, NBA Finals, now, of course, Stanley Cup Finals. You've done that before as well, though. The BCS Championship Games, the Masters, Open Championship, Golf, Wimbledon. I'm telling them all this because the final question is, next weekend, we could have something that is almost unheard of, and that is back-to-back Triple Crown winners. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And Justify looks as strong as any horse I've ever seen. We all know about his trainer, one of the most famous, if not the most famous trainer in history, and Bob Baffert. The question is right now is, can Justify win the Belmont? Because the one thing I saw in the Preakness, if there was about another 7 or 8 lengths, he loses that race.
Well, first of all, go to sportsusamedia.com because I did an exclusive one-on-one interviews with both Bob Baffert and Mike Smith, the trainer and the jockey, last week.
Nice.
So that was really interesting to sit down with both of them and get their takes on it. Distance is a question, no doubt about it. It's the longest race for Justify, how he fits. It's not perfect, but he is fit, and that's what Baffert told me. He came out of the last race great, even though it looked like I thought he was weary. I thought it was going to affect him in the long run, and of course, you never know until the Belmont is run. I was there for American Pharoah a couple of years ago, and I got a feel for what that place is really about when you're going for a Triple Crown. It's one of the all-time great feats in any sport, and I highly recommend everybody watch it. I think Justify, I think it's going to be a really, really good race. I'm not sure there's enough speed in there that's going to affect him. But Mike Smith says he doesn't have to go to the lead. He could take them a little bit off, and if they want to send somebody out, they could do it. So I'll believe this when I see it. I'm going to say that he's going to do it, but I think it's going to be a great race, and that's really all I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to it as well. And what I love about jockeys when they're talking about the horses, they talk about the horses, they say, the horse is a great athlete, and these horses are athletes.
True.
It's incredible. Matter of fact, they're incredible, incredible creations of God. If you look at the thoroughbred racing horse, they are absolutely amazing. Standing close to these animals is magnificent. And the coolest thing to me about this is, yeah, I love Bob Baffert, and I would love to Justify do this, but a 52-year-old jockey, man, to win a Triple Crown would be the coolest thing I think ever. And to understand how difficult it is and how great a shape Mike Smith has kept himself in to be able to do this. People have no idea what it takes to do what Mike Smith is taking, right?
Yeah, and Mike Smith is a very humble guy. He's really interesting to speak to because he does tell you how he feels. And I could say, if you listen to the interview at sportsusamedia.com, you'll hear the passion in his voice and what this means to him. He said the words, "I can ride off into the sunset if I win this thing, but I'm not planning on doing that yet." And at his age, I mean, it really is remarkable, but this is not even an age thing because, as they say, he's in as good a shape as a lot of the 30-year-olds there in the jocks room. So may the best horse win, but it's not going to be because Mike Smith didn't do anything right. I guarantee you that.
No, I think it's going to be a hell of a race. Can't wait for it.
Me
again,
too.
He is Ted Sobel, Sports USA. Definitely check out the site. You can see the interviews he's talking about with Baffert and Smith and a lot of other great stuff at sportsusamedia.com. Again, follow Ted on Twitter, Ted Sobel Sports. Ted, we appreciate you, brother. Definitely going to get you back on the show again.
Thanks, Brian. Anytime. Let's have a great series here, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll definitely be seeing you on Thursday night. We know that, but hopefully the Knights won't have themselves with their back up against the wall.
To be determined, my friend.
TBD. Hey, listen, we're long overdue for a break. We're going to take one. Thanks again to Ted. We come back on the other side. We still have Fact This, Blazing the 51s Report. A lot to get to, not a lot of time. We'll see you on the other side.
Nosek pulls it away on the backhand. Nosek banks at left point. Spees at the lefty. Shuffles lefty. Shoots. Scores! off the pipe and in. Lucas Spezza with Ryan Reeves parked in front, and the Knights take a 2-1 lead. Theodore gets it back, slides to the high slot. Englund ships it wide right. Nosek centers off the side of the net. Another try, score! It's Ryan Reeves, and it's a tie game, 4-4. Reeves, 2 goals in 2 games, his first 2 in a Vegas uniform.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
How big? It's like a broken record. You guys score the first goal in the first period of every game. Now, this game played out a little bit differently, but ultimately you still won. How big is that to come out and establish dominance almost right off the get-go?
Well, you always want to do that. You know, it doesn't matter what time of the season is. You want to get that first goal and put the pressure on the other team. And, you know, they did a good job of bouncing back, but I thought we did a really good job of answering the bell every time something went wrong. So I think that's the biggest part of this team is we're resilient and we bounce back at when something goes wrong.
Every game's huge, and you guys say it all the time, but getting game one, it's got to mean something to you. And that's kind of it's kind of a nice luxury off the get-go, right?
Yeah, game one is obviously huge. I wouldn't say it puts all the pressure on them, but it definitely eases a little bit off of us. And, you know, maybe it makes them hold their sticks a little tighter. You know, you never know how it makes another team feel. But, I think we got to just put that same game out and correct a few things.
I know you said a little earlier you don't think they're going to have meetings about the fourth line over there in the Capitals locker room, but you did a lot of damage tonight in the fourth line. You guys worked really hard. What do you attribute it to?
I think just the opportunity we have ahead of us. You know, the Carlson line does a really good job of getting big goals for us and shutting down top lines. So I think, you know, we have a big opportunity ahead of us, and we got to make sure that our depth is answering the bell all the time.
Postseason came along, and you definitely sold a lot of patience, Ryan. You waited for your turn. You got in there now the last 2 games, 2 goals in a row. How are you feeling, man?
Feeling great. You know, I'm just having fun doing this. It's you know, you don't get this opportunity very often, so when you see it ahead of you, you gotta seize it.
Last question to you. You get ready for game 2 now. Obviously, there was some stuff that didn't go real well in the end of the game with Marchessault getting hit by Wilson, but what are you expecting coming up Wednesday night?
I expect them to come out even harder. I mean, it's you know, they're down 1-0 now, and they're going to come out hard, and we gotta come out even harder. You know, we got to make sure that we're dictating the pace.
Best of luck to you, Ryan.
Thanks.
That was Ryan Reeves in interview after game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And, of course, the Vegas Golden Knights got that one 6-4, an empty netter at the end, giving them a 2-goal cushion. But huge game for the Knights, but they've dropped 2 since then. And listen, we're going to go back to fact this, because it is a fact that next week at this time, we will either be talking about game 6, which would take place 1 week from tonight in the nation's capital. And that is if the Vegas Golden Knights win one of the next 2 games. Or we will be talking about the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals and how very close the Golden Knights came to actually winning the Cup in their inaugural season. This means it's possibly our last chance to talk about what the Vegas Golden Knights need to do to get over the final hurdle. Or while the Knights are still very much alive, we can talk about what we believe their chances are to finish this, but more importantly and more accurately, how this is even possible, let alone the fact that it's really happening. Put it this way, Jose, I'll get you on in a minute, but I'm gonna like pose a question to you. If 1 year ago right now, the Golden Knights, again, 1 year ago right now, you were to tell me, hey, Brian, I got some great news for you. The Golden Knights, 1 year from right now, are going to be playing in the Stanley Cup Final against the Washington Capitals. As a matter of fact, 1 year from today, they will be down 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Final with game four being tomorrow night at Capital One Arena in D.C. I would have said, Jose, I'm really worried about you. Don't tell anybody else this theory. Because I'm scared they're going to come and pick you up and put you in a white jacket. You won't be on the show anymore.
Myself.
Okay, I mean, but here's the deal. It happened. We are exactly in that place. So this is something I get asked all the time, and I'm going to pose this up there, and hopefully we'll still have enough time to get to the rest of the show. But it's very important, the three things, because I get asked it all the time. Why are the Golden Knights the Golden Knights? Why are they doing what they're doing? Well, there's only three reasons that it could be. Number one, ironically, my girlfriend posed this to me. She said, it's a conspiracy. Okay? She said that the parties that be it the government, whoever, is making this happen. Look at 2008. The New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl after Hurricane Katrina. Last year, I believe it was Hurricane Harvey. Was it Harvey?
Yes, it was.
Right down in Texas? Is that
Houston,
the one? Right? Yeah. Houston, Texas? Mm-hmm. The worst flooding
and
in history.
The Houston Astros won the World Series.
And the Houston Astros win the World Series. So we have that. And then this year, October 1st, 2017, one of the worst American tragedies ever, shooting across Mandalay Bay, 58 people shot down at a concert. And here the Vegas Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup Final. Conspiracy? Could that happen? Let me tell you something, people. Throw that one out. Hockey is the most difficult of all the sports to fix because the bottom line is when it's all said and done, you got to put the puck in the net, the biscuit in the basket. You're going to tell me a French-Canadian like Marc-Andre Fleury is going to let pucks past him for an American cause to pump up our society? Braden Holtby of the Washington Capitals, who's finally in their first Stanley Cup ever, is going to let pucks in so the Vegas Golden Knights can complete this unbelievable run? No, not happening, but that can be your theory. Theory number two, it's happening simply because it's happening. I mean, come on. Let's take a look at it. It makes perfect sense. At worst, they had the 10th best player on every team in the league. And every team's number one backup goaltender were available to them, too. They got the cherry pick. So should anybody be surprised? I mean, oh, my God, are you really going to buy that theory? That's it? This should be happening because they had the deck stacked in their favor? I mean, people, in all seriousness, that's insane. But that makes the most sense. If you think that, you are probably among the majority because it just is what it is. They're this good. But let me tell you, if that's your theory, we don't need to play these last couple games. Give the Stanley Cup right now to the Washington Capitals. They are the better hockey team. Like it or not, they are the better hockey team. So if it is going to happen because it's going to happen this way, forget it. It's over. I'm telling you right now, the Capitals are going to win the Stanley Cup. Or there is the third school of thought. This is the one that everyone comes to me. It's destiny, Brian. It is destiny. They are destined to win the Stanley Cup. You know what you're saying? If you're telling me that it's destiny, you might as well change the word to divinity. Because you're telling me there's a higher power that it has its hand in the National Hockey League. You're saying that God is deciding what's going to happen in the National Hockey League this year. Because if you're telling me it's destined, it's predestined. There's no other answer. It's a higher power. It's something outside of the norm of humanity that is coming in to make this happen. So what's your choice, people? Because there's no other choice. It's one of the three. It is a conspiracy. It's fixed. It is what it is. Or it's destined. They are destined to win the Stanley Cup. God wants this to happen because of it's kind of like balancing the scales, right? Katrina happens, the Saints win the Super Bowl. And in that one, I'm not sure it wasn't a fixer. If you watch the NFC Championship game, I saw some unbelievable things by the Bounty Gate New Orleans Saints to beat the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game. But I thought Houston was legit last year in the World Series. I didn't see anything that really said, wow, that looks like a fixer. If anything this year, if the officials are fixing anything, it looks like it'd be towards the Washington Capitals, not towards the Vegas Golden Knights. So I don't buy that. And again, it is what it is. Well, if it is, the Capitals are winning the Stanley Cup. And if it's destiny, wouldn't it even be better this way that the Knights actually are down in the series and come back against the Capitals, have to win a game in Washington, which they do now, in order to get back in front or to even capture the cup? Capitals don't need to win a game at T-Mobile. There's one more to play, two more to play here. They can lose both those and still win the cup. So the bottom line is it's one of the three. What's your choice? Jose, what do you like? What's your choice of the three? Tough one, huh?
I honestly think it is what it is, but I'm going to explain to you why I think it is what it is. I'm happy that they're down 2-1. I don't want them to be up 2-1. Think about it. This year, what have the Golden Knights done? They keep surprising. They keep doing things
resiliency
that other teams haven't done.
You're saying resiliency.
They break this record. They make this history. Why not be down 2-1? Why not come back and be the team that shows we don't have to have the lead in this series? It's okay to be the dog in the fight. It's okay to show everybody that we're the team
of destiny.
If you want to call it the team of destiny. But now with the whole higher power thing, if you're religious and you're into that, I get it. I don't mock it. Not at all. There could be 58 great souls on that ice every single night helping out. But that's not what I'm going to choose. I think it is what it is. And I'm glad they're down 2-1. Because if and when they do come back and win this cup, it's going to make it even sweeter.
I don't mean this facetiously at all. I think God likes the Vegas Golden Knights. Listen, we're just out of time. So, Jose, real quick, we're going to do the Blazin'. We'll get back to that. Blazin' is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 on North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a long slap shot from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, and during football season, we're out there giving away replica jerseys. And we're also giving away wing parties. A lot of fun. Come out for Monday Night Football during football season. And here, I got to turn this around, right? Just turn around like this. There we go. Look at Jose on here. Okay, Jose, go ahead and give me what's hot, man.
So I went to the Las Vegas Aces game recently on Friday. They finally got their first win of the season. If you guys don't know, the WNBA is here. I got to speak to Asia Wilson, which is their number one draft pick out of South Carolina. Got to ask her how she felt because she pretty much played the whole game. This is what she had to say.
Asia, they played you a lot today, pretty much almost the whole game. How you feeling?
I feel good. I was kind of surprised. This is my first time I've ever played back-to-back, especially coming from away games. So I was kind of like taking a nap a lot, just getting my legs, resting myself. So I felt pretty good coming in. I knew coming in with the talks that Coach and I had that I had to bring the energy. I had to be that person that kind of got a feel for the game and got the team going. So I knew I didn't have time to feel sorry for myself. So I really bounced back, got a lot of rest. So I feel good.
As you can hear in her voice, she's pretty much a leader right off the bat. Las Vegas got their first win of the season, finally beating the Washington Mystics. They beat them 85-73, got their first win in franchise history, first win at home. Not only that, I mean, from what I got to see with this chick, I'm sorry, this woman, let me rephrase that because I don't want to disrespect anyone. She reminds me of Tim Duncan, the way she plays the forward position.
The Aces out at Mandalay Bay. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. We'll be out to a few games, and they do get their first win. Yep. And you'd be surprised. The crowd, it's exciting. It's a good atmosphere. Again, Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza. Also, right now, real quickly, we are going to get to the Las Vegas 51s report. The Las Vegas 51s, they are out of this world. And right now, they are out of town, but they will be back in town this coming week. They come back on Tuesday. One more game in Reno that's going on this afternoon, and then they're in town this week. They've got a bunch of games, I think 7 or 8 games in a row starting this week. Friday is going to be firework night. Thursday, dollar beer night. Always a great time out at Cashman Field, and this is the last season the 51s will be playing out at Cashman Field. Listen, man, we are out of time here on Out of Line. Again, tomorrow night you have the Stanley Cup Finals game, 4, huge game. Vegas Golden Knights will be trying to knot the series up at 2 games apiece, and we'll see what's going on there. Also, real quickly, I do want to mention the NBA Finals. Haven't had a chance to do that yet. Game 1 went to overtime in, you know, obviously at Golden State. LeBron James, 51 points. They lose it in overtimes. J.R. Smith with a brain fart.
He went to go grab the Henny.
Well, I'll tell you, he must have, because he takes the ball back. He didn't know what the score was. He definitely thought they were ahead.
Completely lost,
and it affected them, and they end up losing it overtime by 10. My opinion, I think Golden State blows them out today. I think that really screwed up the series. I still think Cleveland will get 1 or 2 in Cleveland, but that was it. If Cleveland steals that game, it's possible, but they didn't. Listen, this is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank our guest today, Magnum, for calling or getting on the phone from Washington, D.C. Want to thank Ted Sobel, USA Sports, awesome guy. Definitely loved having him on. Also, Jose Vellante for filming Facebook Live and helping me join the show here Out of Line. And, of course, Bobby Machado behind the big board today taking care of things. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m., the home of Vegas Golden Knight hockey here in the Valley. We'll be back next Sunday. Hopefully at this time we'll still be talking about the Stanley Cup Finals. We're out. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye.